Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for the Nick Kale Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here's Nick Kale.
Live here on a Saturday in Atlanta, it is the Nick Kale Show on Sports Radio 92.9 TheGame.com app. With 3 hours taking you up until 3 o'clock today. It is great to be here. Loaded show. Dylan Matthews is the chairman of the board. Phone number, as always, 404-741-0929. That is also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You can get me on Twitter, Kale, K-A-Y-A-L. A couple of really good guests coming up today. Mike Griffith, Dog Nation, AJC at 1240. We'll talk dogs. We'll talk SEC Media Days, college football, name, image, likeness, everything that's going on from the fallout that was Media Days in Hoover, Alabama this week, which, oh, by the way, pretty cool. Our very own Chris Goforth tweeted this out. I think it was yesterday or Thursday, that the 2022 SEC Media Days will return to Atlanta, so that's next year, and then it'll be in Nashville in 2023 as they kind of get away from the Hoover-Birmingham area. Coming up 2:20 today, Joe Patrick, our Braves reporter, will talk all things Braves with him in the final hour of the show. And then also Brian Billick was on with Dukes and Bell, some really good stuff with him. We'll run that back for you at 1:40 today. He had some good takes on the Falcons, the whole COVID thing with the vaccinations, and everybody wants to just claim HIPAA and nobody knows what HIPAA means. So now in like social media streets, whenever you just don't want to do something, just claim HIPAA. And apparently you feel valid. You also prove how much of an idiot you are. But we'll get to that a little bit later on. Before we get to the fallout from college football and Media Days, just one thing I quickly want to mention. So nobody's confused. So on Wednesday, I posted on my feed that I got accepted into law school. So I'm going to start going to law school in August, and I got a job as an associate at a law firm. And in my Twitter post, I said that I would still be doing weekends for the game, and I would still be doing my Saturday show, hence why I'm here today. And I'll be here next week and every week after that. And throughout the fall for college football, and throughout the NFL season, I'll still be doing the Falcons Facebook flop on Sunday for post game. So not going anywhere on the weekend, just simply will no longer be able to do weekday fill-ins. You know, if Andy or Randy are out, Dukes and Bell are out, Fricky's out, whoever it might be. Apparently, some people that I was quitting and then I was leaving permanently. I'm just scaling back my availability during the week because they say school is a bit intense. So yeah, not going anywhere. I know a lot of people are like, oh, I can't believe you're leaving. Where are you going? You know, why'd you quit? Didn't quit. I even had the boss texting me. Did you quit? I'm like, no, I told you about this in advance. I'm getting texts that people think you're leaving. You know, I should know better than to post something on Twitter that has like 4 screenshots worth of notes, because I know people can't read and people can't comprehend because we live in the Twitter world of, oh my God, I just read the headline and I just think I know everything. So not going anywhere. But I digress. All right, so college football, SEC Media Day, the dogs. We got a lot to get to. You know, it's crazy. The NBA Finals are over. Congrats to Giannis and the Bucks. From a Hawks perspective, We took the world champs to six games with our star banged up. But now, you know, like normally, the NBA Finals would have ended like on the 20th of June. You would have had the draft. You would have some free agency. But it'd be really like the dead period of summer because it would be just baseball, 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 and some soccer mixed in as well. But now all of a sudden, the NBA season is over. And yeah, we got the Braves are five back, but they're still kind of just lingering in obscurity. College football took center stage this week. Falcons training camp's going to get going any moment. The boys will be out there. Goforth and Harry Douglas will be at Flowery Branch a week from today. Before you know it, I mean, football season will be here, and it almost feels like football season already. And how about college football taking the world by storm? Not only this, but think about this, guys. College football, historically, one of the slowest moving sports for change. You can't classify college football historically as a progressive entity. Very slow to change. Very slow to adapt. Really don't evolve. But think about this now. In the last, 8 to 12 weeks, we've had image and likeness. Dudes are getting paid. We've had college football playoff expansion to the umpteenth degree where, well, we're not just going to go from 4 to 6 or 6 to 8 or 4 to 8. We're just going to go for the full Megillah here. We're going from 4 to 12. And now this week, the latest evolution of college football, Texas and Oklahoma set to join the SEC. When I saw this, I think I saw somebody retweet something from like the Houston Chronicle who covered the Big 12 and Texas and OU exploring joining the Southeastern Conference. I legitimately almost fell off. And I have so many like questions and emotions, and I thought I had some takes, and then I thought about it and I've adjusted those takes. So here's a couple of things. First of all, why? Well, I think it's about money. And it's weird because Texas, I mean, if you look at all the major programs in college football, nobody's got more money than Texas. Not Alabama, not Georgia, Florida, not USC, not Ohio State, not Penn State. Texas has money for days. They have the Longhorn Network. They've got boosters that are billionaires and multi-millionaires. They don't need the money for Texas. But now Texas, Oklahoma, to me, feels like they're pursuing money. But what do you gain from that beyond the spotlight of the SEC, which we all know is the preeminent conference in college football, has been for 25 years? What do you gain from it? Okay, you join the conference, you make some money. But I'm looking at it from Texas's standpoint, first of all. I mean, you guys have gone 9-4 and 8-5 and have struggled since Mack Brown left 12 years ago in the Big 12. Y'all going to get your butt handed to you in D.C. Oklahoma's been the class of the conference for the last decade and a half. And they've been in college football playoff games. They continually win the Big 12 championship. They're 20 years removed or so, give or take, from Bob Stoops and those national championships. But what does Oklahoma gain? And now I'm starting to wonder, and I don't know if the answer is out there, and or it's still to be determined, what happened with the SEC from the standpoint of going from 14 teams to 16 teams? Or are we going to kick somebody out? Because if it was up to me, and if it's a foregone conclusion and a formality that Texas and Oklahoma come to the Southeastern Conference, well, then I'm kicking out Arkansas and Missouri. Arkansas has been completely irrelevant. You can go back to the Big 12. Back in the day before Arkansas joined the SEC, I think back in 1992, Arkansas was a part of the Big 8, which was the original Big 12. Now, well, but if I'm there, Missouri has won the SEC East in back-to-back years. I think it was 2013 and 2014. And my initial reaction was, oh, man, what becomes now of the Power 5 schools? This isn't good. We're going to be relegated to the SEC, Clemson, and Ohio State. The Big 12 is now going to be on its deathbed because the Oklahoma States, the Texas Techs, the Baylors, the TCUs, the rest of that conference minus Texas and Oklahoma will be irrelevant. They'll basically become a group of five conference. They're going to be like the Big East after Miami left years ago. The Pac-12, well, they've been long gone. They've checked out of college football. So where are we going? But then the more I thought about it, I said, okay, wait a minute. Let me think about this. So college football has an SEC problem if you're not an SEC guy, right? College football has a Bama problem. College football has an Alabama-Clemson problem. And Ohio State's been the class of Big Ten forever. The more I thought about it, you know what? Nothing really changes. Oklahoma and Texas join the SEC. The rich get richer. Clemson will continue to own the ACC. Ohio State continues to own 10. And now the Big 12 and the Pac-12 will be irrelevant. The Pac-12 has been irrelevant. And the Big 12 has been basically Oklahoma throughout the college football playoff era, dating back to 2014. So the fact that it changes, nothing changes. But I got to tell you, Texas and Oklahoma, from a rivalry standpoint coming into the SEC, it'll sell. Alabama versus Georgia versus Oklahoma, Georgia versus Texas. Who's in the East? Who's in the West? Will they play every year, every other year, every couple of years? But again, I don't really know beyond some money and conference notoriety what they do. Well, we're going to do better in recruiting. No, you're not. Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, Alabama, Georgia, LSU, they already recruit Texas heavily. Look at the roster. In some years, some of the incoming classes of recruiting classes, like one year, like Alabama might have 13 kids from Texas, 7 from Florida, 5 from Alabama, 2 from Georgia, 1 from Mississippi. So you're not going to win back your recruits. It's fascinating. I just don't know really what those schools gain. But ultimately, college football, big picture, I don't think it really changes much. Because we have three teams that have essentially created a monopoly on the court. Clemson and Ohio State. Yeah, and Georgia gets in the mix. Yeah, Oklahoma gets in the mix. Every now and then, LSU will have a great offense or they'll have a great defense. You know, Auburn pops up from time to time. But man, what a world we are living in. We're in a matter of months. Name, image, likeness, 12-team expansion, and the heart and soul of Big 12 country says, you know what? We're packing up and shipping east. We want to be in Atlanta on the first day inside Ben Stadium. What a world. Your thoughts, your reaction. If you're a college football guy, you're an SEC guy, you're a Georgia guy, check in right now, 404-741-0929. We'll take your calls, 404-741-0929, by Griffith Dog Nation, AJC. He'll join us coming up at 1240 today. We'll come back. We'll get your calls on all of that. And then also a great spoof of SEC Media Day recap from George Owen, Wes Blankenship. You'll hear what Nick Saban has to say on the vaccine for COVID-19, as well as a little spoof on Nick Saban on his soon-to-be star quarterback, who hasn't really accomplished anything, already making seven figures on name, image, and likeness. Your call is 404-741-0929. It is the Nick Cale Show, live here on a Saturday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app.
Back with more Nick Cale Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, good to have you guys in here on a Saturday. We roll till 3 o'clock, 404-741-0929. We will get to the Hawks coming up in hour number 2. Another injury, another surgery for a member of the Atlanta Hawks, what that means now for the future of John Collins. Also, some of the national publications already giving the Hawks a lot of love for some way too early power rankings. And then in the final hour of the show, we'll get to the Braves. Joe Patrick is going to join us. And also we'll discuss the lunacy of some Braves fans that actually think firing Brian Snicker is the right decision because the other pro teams in town have all fired their coach or manager in the last calendar year. We'll get to all of that before we get out of here at 3. Dylan Matthews with a Saturday Social coming up at 2:40. Mike Griffith from the AJC will talk Dogs and SEC Media Days with him in just about 20 minutes time. But again, opened up the show last segment, just the crazy evolution at warp speed for college football. From name, image, likeness, 12-team playoff expansion, and now Texas, Oklahoma coming to the SEC. And there was just so much. This was actually, and I didn't get a chance to go. I went to Media Days for the SEC back in 2019, so two summers ago in Hoover. And it was the first time I ever went. And it was one of those bucket list items. It's like Radio Row at the Super Bowl, but much more smaller and scaled back because it's just for one conference of one sport. But it was a bucket list item. And, you know, it was cool for the first day or so. And you see Saban come by and Coach O and Kirby and Mullen. And then it's like, all right, I'm in a hotel hallway with a bunch of radio stations from Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, Louisiana, and it's like, all right, we're all talking about the same thing. And then they parade out the SEC network guests and like Alyssa Lang and, you know, some of the people that are easier to get on for radio stations doing guest hits. They all make the rounds. And I was like, all right, after 2 days, I'm like, I'm gonna get the hell out of here. So, you know, it's not one of those things where I want to go back ever again. Did it once. It was cool. Check off the list and move on. But there was a lot that came out of this one. I think more so than any other year, really, because, you know, we're kind of returning to normalcy. And last year was, you know, a once in a lifetime type year with a pandemic. And there's so much fallout from the vaccine, right? When we're talking about sports. And it's a shame that something like a vaccine has become hyper-politicized and basically weaponized by politicians on both sides of the spectrum, maybe one side more than the other. But for me, and you guys know I'm not really into politics, and the fact that COVID has become political makes me despise politics even more, but I tweeted this out about a day or so ago because I was reading, I forget where, I think it might have been Wall Street Journal or something, and they're talking about how the South is lagging behind other portions of the country for vaccination rates. And two of the biggest culprits are the state of Alabama and the state of Tennessee. Roughly like a third of their population of their state has been vaccinated, which is incredibly low compared to other cities, other states, regions of the country. So I said this in regards to SEC Media Days after, you know, Greg Sankey, the commissioner, said what he had to say about vaccines. And I said, if you want to get vaccination rates up in the South, require proof of vaccination to enter any SEC football stadium this fall. Watch how quickly people get the shot. And most people responded spot on. And then you get a couple of people, what is that supposed to mean? I don't have to get a vaccine. You're right. And I don't really care what you do one way or the other. I'm not going to be in an SEC stadium this fall anyway, okay? I'm going to be watching on TV. I got my shot. I don't advocate. I don't tell people what to do. But I do think there is some fact behind that because I, like many of you in this audience, love SEC football. Now, it's not 100% universal that if all of a sudden the SEC stadiums were like, you will not enter Williams-Brice Stadium unless you have proof of vaccination. It doesn't mean 100% of you that are not vaccinated will get vaccinated. Some of you might be like, tell that school to go pound sand. I'm not getting a shot. And you're right. But I do think there is some merit behind what I said in that tweet that most people understood. Some people were like, yeah, that's a fact. Yep, SEC guy. They love their football. Whatever it takes to get in to see their boys play on Saturday, they'll do. And then there was a few people that, you know, got offended. But that's Twitter. And sometimes I just like to, you know, poke and prod and turn the needle a little bit. But let's hear from the GOAT, Nick Saban, at SEC Media Days, talking about the vaccination.
Large majority of our players who have gotten the vaccine, and we've given every player, you know, on our team the choice to do that.
And that, look, you know, I think a lot of college teams are getting to that point where it's 80-85%. NFL teams to the same level, 70-75, 85-90%. I think the entire country is like 48.9% fully vaccinated, so not even 50%. But here's the thing. You know, you can take any avenue you want. Get the shot, don't get the shot. But we're going to have full stadiums this fall. And the one thing that has kind of busted out in sports Twitter over the last few days, and I think it probably stems probably a little bit more from NFL players, whether it's Ezekiel Elliott, Dak Prescott, DeAndre Hopkins. Now everybody wants to claim HIPAA. HIPAA, HIPAA, HIPAA. Guys, HIPAA basically says that healthcare practitioners and doctors and medical providers can't provide and release your health records to anybody. That doesn't prevent a SEC football stadium or a business from saying, I need to see proof of vaccination for you to enter. It's not a HIPAA violation. It's private property. It's their business. That's their right. They have the right to do it. You have the right to tell them to go pound sand and then leave. Simple as that. But I think we're going to get to the point where we get a majority of people in the sports world on board, but there's going to be some people that refuse to do it. And it's not just one political party or the other. It's not just people on the right. Have you seen DeAndre Hopkins' Twitter feed this past week? I mean, he was going off, had to delete tweets. So it's a mess, and quite frankly, I'm sick of it. I'm tired of hearing of it. And I'm especially tired of hearing sports people that are consumed with it. It's almost like certain people in sports media are more consumed with COVID and vaccination rates and everything else than they are their actual job. So after this show, and actually in about 90 seconds and around 12:29 p.m. today, I'm done hearing about COVID and vaccine shots with sports. I just want to play sports. If you don't want the shot, so be it. If you got the shot, great. I just want to talk about sports. And I'm glad that we're going to have pretty much stadiums filled to the capacity. You want to keep your mask on? God bless you. That's your right. You don't want to get the shot? God bless you. That's your right. I'm actually to the point now, and I don't go on Twitter as much as I used to over the last couple of months. This is just me, right? I'm sitting here on my soapbox, right, having a moment. If I see, and I don't care what side you're on, pro or anti, if you're a sports guy and I see you tweet about vaccines and COVID anymore, and I don't care what the content of it is, I'm muting you, I'm blocking you, and I'm unfollowing you. I don't care what you have to say anymore about it. You're probably wrong on your assessment of a quarterback. Why should I listen to you about something you're not qualified to talk about? Done with it. Done with it. All right. Speaking of being done with things, one thing I'm not done with, name, image, likeness. This is a beautiful thing. Did you guys see this story? Speaking of SEC media days in college football, Bryce Young, starting quarterback for Alabama, who's yet to be a full-time starter. I think he's thrown one touchdown. He was a freshman last year behind Mac Jones. Is already closing in on seven figures in name, image, and likeness revenue. This is astounding. Now, I said for weeks and weeks and weeks, maybe even months, that college football players, a majority of them, were not going to make a boatload, right? Like the Trevor Lawrences, the Justin Fields, the Tebows, the generational guys, I could see making six figures, perhaps seven. But your run-of-the-mill defensive tackle in Athens, he gets a barbecue deal, he gets a car dealership deal, he makes 25 grand. Look, I get it. Bryce Young, quarterback, Alabama. But dude, he hasn't accomplished anything. And he's going to make seven figures? This is incredible. I might need to rethink my whole take on name, image, and likeness from the standpoint of I think a lot of guys are going to make really good money. Like even middle of the road, just, you know, all conference type starters, like the Richard LeCounts of the world. If Richard LeCount was still with Georgia this year, I mean, Richard LeCount might make $75,000, $100,000. This is great. I love it. I hope every one of these guys get the absolute max that they can get. And I think I'm guilty of it, and maybe some others are, as just to how clueless we are as to how savvy some of these kids are in this social media day and age with Twitter and Instagram and TikTok and, you know, creating your own logo and websites and everything that goes with it now. I mean, if you want to become a brand and you are creative, you're going to make some money. And I don't think it's going to get to the point where these players are too consumed with their own brand and money that it affects their on-field play, although I think some coaches will probably say behind closed doors that they want these kids to remain focused on the team goal and not the individual brand. They won't say it publicly because if they do, that hurts them in recruiting. Let's actually hear, speaking of name, image, and likeness, I don't know if you guys follow Joey Molinaro. I think he works for Barstool Sports now, but he does a bunch of impressions. He does a great Colin Cowherd impression. He does a great impersonation of a lot of different sports people. And one of his best is Nick Saban. Here he is on a little spoof on Saban on cashing in on NIL.
Well, I think it's an interesting development. Interesting for multiple reasons. Everybody's excited and everybody wants to make a big deal about it. But I think what's really interesting is that NIL stands for nil. That's how I see it. Because if you're more focused on NIL and making money off your brand and doing things online instead of being my program, then that's what your playing time's going to be. I, zero, nilch, nada. That's what NIL stands for in my mind. So while everybody's excited, everybody gets to focus on their brand and everybody gets to make their money, that's fine and well and all. But if you're going to be focused more on the NIL in my program, it's going to be more like NPL, not playing long. All right?
How, like, if I didn't tell you that that was an impression, I think a lot of you thought that probably was Saban at SEC Media Days. That was Joey Molinaro from Barstool Sports. All right? All right, program, NPL, not playing long. Pretty funny. 404-741-0929. Let's check in with James in Atlanta. Oh, James is gone. No worries. We've got our man, Mike Griffith, Dog Nation. AJC is going to join us coming up in about 10 minutes. And I'm going to hit him on the whole Texas-Oklahoma stuff, takeaways from media days, the vaccine stuff in the conference, and everything that's going on. And one of the big things from a Georgia standpoint that I want to hit Mike on, and we'll talk a little bit about this, is Dennis Dodd's column on CBSSports.com this week about whether or not this is the year for Georgia. But either way, Kirby Smart has 24 years to catch up to Nick Saban. Dennis Dodd had a really good breakdown. And he talked about, you know, Georgia's offense this year, what they'll be defensively, all the weapons, the quarterback, JT Daniels, all the things that we've talked about, right? But he's got a really good breakdown of Nick Saban versus Kirby Smart at age 45. And I'll just give you the bullet points real quick before we get Mike Griffith in here. Seasons as a head coach at age 45, Nick Saban had 3, Kirby Smart has 5. Division titles as a head coach at age 45, Saban 0, Kirby 3. Conference titles, Saban 0, Kirby 1. National title appearances, Saban 0, Kirby 1. Postseason record, Saban 0-3, Kirby 4-2 at age 45. Obviously, Saban in his 70s now. I think he just turned 70. That was 25 years ago. So that was pre-Bama, pre-LSU. That was Saban at Michigan State. So if you're in it for the long haul with Kirby, Kirby is trending in that direction. If you're anti-Kirby and he's on the hot seat for you as a Georgia fan, you're thinking, he can't hold a candle to Saban. We'll talk to Mike Griffith about that and more. Coming up next, Nick Kale Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now back to the Nick Kale Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, we will get to the latest with the Atlanta Hawks, a pivotal offseason for this franchise, as well as some potential blockbuster trades that have been floated out on the Twitter sphere. So stay tuned for that coming up in hour number two. You're going to hear from Brian Billick on with Dukes and Bell and our man Joe Patrick talking some Braves coming up in the 2 o'clock hour. But right now we put a bow on hour number one with all things college football, the SEC Media Days, and the Dogs. And we go out to the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Welcome in our man Mike Griffith from Dog Nation, AJC. Mike, I don't think we've chatted since probably G-Day or thereabout. How you doing?
Doing good, man. How you been?
I've been doing good. You ready for college football?
Yeah, it's here, right? Media days and, talk about the playoffs and NIL and vaccinations and conference expansion. We got all sorts of good things happening.
And we will hit on all of those. But just generally speaking, from the week that was in Hoover, what was your biggest takeaway from SEC Media Days?
Just JT Daniels is a star. I mean, you know, now everybody's starting to learn what Georgia fans saw towards the end of last year. And, you know, more of them saw it, in the spring that followed it closely. I mean, in general, you know, college football is such a regional sport, and, you know, it's hard to keep up, hard enough to keep up with your own team. I mean, there's 85 guys, there's recruiting, there's former players in the NFL that you're following. I mean, a loyal college football fan has a plateful keeping up with. It's not like the NFL, right, where, you know, the rosters are short, you know, there's fantasy football emphasizes certain players, there's NFL highlight shows, scoring channels, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So you don't really know as much about other programs as the one you follow. That's true for even me as a beat guy. I mean, I try to keep a pretty SEC-wide awareness. But so I don't think people that covered other teams, media that covered other teams, fans that follow, I don't think they were really paying attention when Georgia was playing the end of last year's schedule. Why would they, right? You know, Mississippi State, South Carolina, Missouri, who cares? Mm-hmm. You know, even the, you know, Cincinnati game on New Year's Day, it's a busy day with a lot of bowl games. Kind of flew under the radar. Even in the spring, you know, there's you know, some people don't even follow spring football. So to me, this was kind of a little bit of a coming out for JT Daniels. I think a lot of media realized that, wow, he's not what we thought. He's not just some, you know, laid-back California Spicoli dude. I mean, far from it. Just the opposite. I mean, this guy's a brainiac. I mean, he's brilliant. I mean, you can tell when you talk to him, there's some depth there. There's maturity there. I think it probably, you know, made people realize that this guy is serious. This is a serious customer. Kirby Smart, putting him in the same breath with Mac Jones and Joe Burrow when he talks about the offense and the kind of season they're capable of having. And you're thinking, man, since when does Kirby, you know, talk people up? I mean, he talks down to the media, and because, you know, when we say nice things about his players, he calls it rat poison. But then he goes there and, mm-hmm. you know, blows all that smoke on JT being so great. And you're kind of like, it's kind of hypocritical, isn't it, Coach? But I just kind of think it's kind of a JT Daniels, you know, wow, this guy's a big deal. And then I just think a lot of people already knew Jordan Davis, but, you know, you meet Jordan, he's a lovable guy and is only a 6'6", 345-pound guy could be.
Yeah, very true. Let me stay with JT Daniels and pivot a little bit towards Kirby Smart in Georgia. Now all the time, it seems like for the last 2 months, Georgia's become the it team. The national guys are talking about Georgia. Dennis Dodd wrote this week for CBSSports.com, is this the year for Georgia? Either way, Kirby has 24 years to catch Nick Saban. And he breaks down in this article about where Saban was at age 45 with accolades and where Kirby is. Now, this was obviously pre-LSU, pre-Alabama for Saban. But do you think this is one of those years for Kirby where if it doesn't happen, we're going to sit back and say, don't even bring up the Saban conversation ever again?
I think that would be a bit much to say, but you know, the fact that Kirby's in the discussion, it kind of reminds me of the 1990s Braves, right? You know, Smoltz, Glavin, Maddox, you know, every year you thought the Braves could win the World Series. And mm-hmm. they could. They were phenomenal. They were a great baseball program. I think we all celebrated them and loved them. And I think the Georgia Bulldogs have that kind of following in the state of Georgia. You know, the Braves finally broke through and won one World Series. I think most people would agree they were capable of winning four or five.
Sure.
I say the same thing happens in college football. You know, sometimes, you know, things happen at the end of the year. And that doesn't mean the manager's bad or the team's a bunch of chokers. I mean, just stuff happens. You know, guys get injured. You know, games play out. And that kind of happened to Georgia, you know, if we're being honest about it. You know, they should have beaten, should have, would have, could have beaten Alabama two out of three times. You know, they second and 26 is a fluke. Alabama really shouldn't have been in the playoff. They lost by double digits to their rival and didn't play in their conference championship game. You know, and then 2018, you know, DeAndre Walker gets injured and, you know, Jalen Hurts comes off the bench and Bama pulls one out, a classic SEC championship game.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year, somehow or another, Georgia's beating Alabama at halftime with Stetson Bennett quarterback. I'm still trying to figure that one out, but it happened. And then Bama adjusts and says, why are we playing too deep? This guy can't throw the ball more than 30 yards and break a pane of glass. So they adjust and everybody adjusts and Stetson's not Stetson anymore. So I look at it like, you know, Kirby's had some great teams. I think he's a great coach. I think he built a great program. I think when I say built, Mark Richt did a heck of a job. But when I say built, I'm talking about money being accrued for facilities, $80 million football building. Obviously, Rick, the indoor facility was on its way to happening. You know, he added on to Kirby is built on, I should say, a great program and made him an annual championship contender. And you want that. You know, you want people saying every year this could be the year. I think it's weird. Like some other fan base, like, oh, there's Georgia fans. They say every year could be the year. Yeah, don't you wish your team could too?
Mm-hmm.
Because how many teams can really say that? Clemson, Alabama, Georgia?
Yeah,
who
four,
else?
Four I mean, or five maybe total?
Well, I wouldn't even bring up the Big 12. You know, this Big 12 talk, Nick, I got to tell you, man, because sometimes perception overtakes reality.
Right.
And that's what's happened with the Big 12. Oh, man, what if they had Oklahoma and Texas? So what? You know, the last time that a Big 12 won a postseason playoff or championship game was 2009?
Okay,
they haven't won a game of consequence in the postseason since Texas 2000. Oklahoma still hasn't won a playoff game.
So that was what? Was that Texas over Nebraska?
Was that the national championship? No, I'm talking about 2009.
Right, Bama beat Texas that year.
Yeah, but they were in the playoff, right? You're right. They were in the playoff. Yeah, they won that. Correct. They played for the national championship in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they haven't been in a national championship game since.
Right.
They didn't win any playoff games.
Nope.
So actually, to your point, to find a game they won that was a championship, we got to go back to 2005 they won a playoff or championship game. My point is this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for all the BC, the you know, committee that picks the playoffs, and every year Oklahoma's the best. Yeah, until they show up. They show up and get their ass kicked. I mean, it's not even a game.
So let me ask you this, though.
Well, that game's over with. I mean, you remember that year in 2018? They put them in the playoff. Alabama's up like 28-0 in 16 minutes.
Yeah.
Turn the channel. It's over.
Yeah, it was the Kyler Murray
game. Now, they gave Georgia a good Rose Bowl, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was a good Rose Bowl game.
That was a classic.
But they won a game. So to your point, yeah, thank you. Yeah, they played for a national title in 2009. But they haven't won a playoff or a championship game, a championship game, postseason championship contest of consequence since 2005. That's 15, 16 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Mike Griffith, Dog Nation, AJC, he's joining us here, 92.9 The Game. So what exactly – so Texas, Oklahoma come to the SEC. What does that mean for the SEC? Are we going to 16 teams? Are we kicking out two teams? What does this conference look like, and what does this mean for the sport in general?
I got one more for you on Texas. They've had one 10-win season in 11 years. In the last 11 years, they've had one double-digit.
Since
one
Mac
double
Brown
digit
left, they've been a disgrace, no doubt.
I mean, so what, you know, what do we get? You know, okay, thrilled, you know. Missouri won two leagues. What does it mean? You know, that's a great question, Nick. I've been mulling that over, and obviously people say, well, it's more money. I'm trying to figure out, though, who it really helps. I mean, obviously, it doesn't help. It's not good for A&M. It's not good for it's not good for the states that are near Texas that recruit the state, because obviously one of the advantages that some of these schools would have, presuming they're going head-to-head with Texas on some Texas kids, is that they're in the SEC and Texas isn't. So it hurts the schools that recruit Texas for the most part. I don't know that it really helps anybody because of what I just said.
Mm-hmm.
You're already beating them. You're already beating these Big 12 teams in the postseason. And you could bring up the Oklahoma-Florida game last year. I mean, but half the Florida team was on the bus.
Yeah.
And if we're being honest about it, they didn't care. And, you know, Texas beat Georgia in a bowl game, but Georgia was missing three starters on defense and feeling like they should be in the playoff. I mean, it wasn't a game that really – I hate to say this, but, you know, since the playoffs, the bowl games have just kind of gone lukewarm on us, right? And I think the players kind of feel the same way. That's why you're seeing – a lot of players opting out. So who does it help? I don't know. Maybe the fans think it's interesting. Maybe it leads to some sort of realignment of the divisions if you're not happy with how the SEC is now. But I look at it and I just kind of shrug. I guess it just doesn't do much for me.
Yeah. I mean, look, would I rather see Texas against Georgia in the middle of October as opposed to Kentucky against Georgia? Yeah, I think on paper it feels juicier, but I'm with you. Like, I don't know really who benefits other than some people making some money. Speaking of money, I got to get your take on this. Now, I thought that some real stars, proven stars, could make a lot of money on name, image, and likeness, like Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, guys like that. I'm a little surprised that Bryce Young, I get it, he's the Bama quarterback, but he's already making about seven figures and he's accomplished nothing on the field. Is this a surprise to you?
Well, first of all, I'm not even sure that's true. I mean, to me, it sounds like Nick Saban's recruiting.
Okay.
He's trying to announce to the world that you can come to Alabama and play quarterback and make $1 million. I'd like to see that documented.
Gotcha.
I don't believe it. I absolutely don't believe it. I think it's Saban being proactive. Because Alabama, it doesn't really benefit as much as some other programs. You know, Atlanta, And gosh, I'm preaching to the choir. Listen to me telling Nick about how big the Atlanta the market is. It's the number seven metropolitan market in the country. And so that's a major advantage for Georgia. Mm-hmm. For kids that grew up in Georgia that want to make money, they're going to go to Georgia or Georgia Tech because those industries in Atlanta are going to promote in-state athletes. And those businesses in the state of Georgia are going to promote because they attract customers from Atlanta because it is a major market. So, you know, NIL is a really good thing for Georgia and Georgia Tech. This is a real advantage that Georgia and Georgia Tech have. Tuscaloosa, not the biggest place ever.
Nope.
They do have a Mercedes-Benz plant near there. I don't know how many Germans watch Alabama football, but there's really not much in Tuscaloosa in the form. Now, they got Paul Bryant Jr. He makes plenty of money. You know, mm-hmm. they've got all sorts of boosters who own businesses, and it's perfectly legal for boosters who own businesses to set up players for endorsement. It's above-the-table money, right? I think we're all thinking to ourselves that a lot of these guys have already been getting paid. It just hasn't been documented, and it hasn't been through endorsement deals. I think we're all thinking that in the back of our minds. I think there's been cases where players have been caught getting paid. Just imagine all the players that didn't get caught that were signing jerseys and doing, whether it was right or wrong or it should have been a rule or not, it was a rule, and people were breaking the rules. I suspect people will continue to break the rules. They'll just find different ways. But I don't have a huge problem with it because, first of all, to your point, I don't think it's been as big of an impact this year as maybe we thought it would. Now, part of that is that Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields moved on. I think Justin and Trevor both would have had huge deals because, you know, they're both very prominent, you know, very wholesome, respectable guys you would want to endorse your business. I mean, mm-hmm. would I want Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence to endorse me? You bet, right? Because yep. those guys are both hardworking guys that I think are universally respected. But you take a look around the landscape, who are we talking about? I mean, JT's kind of a Johnny-come-lately. You know, Sam Howell at North Carolina, he's playing the wrong sport in that state. Mm-hmm. So who are we really talking about that moves the needle? You know, Bryce Young, like you said, he ain't played it down yet.
Yep.
Isn't Paul Bryant Jr.'s grandson or Paul Bryant, Bear Bryant's grandson on that team? Are we even sure Bryce Young's going to be the guy by the end of the year? I heard great things when I went out to California and interviewed his high school coach. Said he's a running back that can throw the ball, but, you know, are we sure that Saban can replicate what Sark did with Mac Jones? I mean, last year was special.
Right.
Can Bama really do it, Nick, after losing six first-round picks?
I don't think so.
If they do, we all just need to hang it up and just let's just give them the trophy at the start of the year and save the time.
Yeah, I agree. I have them losing two games this year. I have them losing one in the regular season and then losing to Georgia in the championship game in Atlanta. I got about 90 seconds left here. I want to get your thoughts on this. Sankey talked about the vaccinations in the SEC. Saban talked about how vaccinated his players are. I tweeted this out about 2 days ago, kind of tongue-in-cheek, just to give a little guff to people. I said, if you want to get the vaccination rates up in the South, require proof of vaccine to enter any SEC football stadium this fall. Watch how quickly those percentages go up. Of course, I got some guff from some people on Twitter. That's to be expected. Where are you at with what Sankey had to say about the conference and the vaccine?
Well, first of all, I think what you said is absolutely 100% true. And I also think that Saban sharing that almost 90% of his team's vaccinated, Kirby talking about over 85%. Listen, there's nothing wrong with these guys being gatekeepers and role models. These are the heroes in the South. I mean, SEC football is what it's all about. We do listen to what these coaches say. They are leaders, not just in the clubhouse, but in the community. There's nothing wrong with that. That's how it's supposed to be. Every community picks their leaders, right? And Southeastern Conference coaches are important figures in the South. They're every bit as persuasive as political figures, and some might say even more so. Because they don't, have a, you know, blue or a red or, you know, Republican or a Democratic, assignment to them, right? So, you know, we don't automatically just pick signs right away. It seems like I say we talking about the public in general. I don't, but certainly, you know, people seem inclined to want to go one way or the other, regardless of the message.
Right.
They're just a football coach. You know, and to me, Nick, that's one of the greatest things about sports, and I hope it stays that way. You know, I was in the military, and it was similar for me when I served. It didn't matter where you were from. It didn't matter what color you were. It didn't matter what your religion was. There was something that we could all bond and agree with, right? And in the military, that guy next to you might be saving your butt. You got his back. He's got yours. And there's a love there and a brotherhood that can, you know, this guy could save your life. Well, in football, it's the same way. These guys are teammates. They go through the throes of adversity at practice and long hours and losses and wins and ups and downs and just excruciatingly difficult times. and they meld together, and sports unites us. We're all there to watch the game. We're all there pulling for this team. And I think for me, that's why I kind of cringe. I don't want to take any rights away from anybody, but I kind of want to say, this sporting event is like where we're all on the same team. Can we just enjoy it without, you know, some divisive action or message? It's their right to do it. Absolutely. As I said, I was a soldier. I fought for that right, that freedom of speech. So people certainly have that right. I don't want the vaccinations to become political, Nick. That's what I don't want. If it's good for our society, then I hope people do it. And I want our society to be healthy and move forward. So that's a pretty complicated answer, but that's how I feel about it.
Always a great answer. Always a great spot. Mike, thank you for the time on a Saturday. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Nick. Have a good one, man.
You got it. Mike Griffith, Dog Nation, AJC, joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. If you missed any of the first hour, all things SEC Media Days, college football, the dogs, so forth and so on. Odyssey.com app. Hit up that rewind feature. All right, coming up next, we will pivot away from football, and we're going to get to the Hawks because one member of the team is going to be out for an extended period of time. Does that affect the future of John Collins? We'll get into that. Way too early NBA power rankings, and just how much cap space do the Hawks have to make moves? Stay there. We're back after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.